anything that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Hey, welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today, come with us to Old City Hall in Reading, where Axiom Repertory Theater is presenting the play A Doll's House, Part 2. It's a new play by Lucas Nath. It was Tony-nominated as Best Play last year. And it's a sequel to the famous play by Henrik Ibsen from 1879, A Doll's House. In this new comedy drama, we find out what happens when the central character Nora returns to confront her husband after having left him 15 years ago because he treated her like a possession, a mere doll, instead of as a human being. We'll talk with the director and all four members of the cast of A Doll's House, Part 2. And we'll be talking with sculptor Dan Corbin, who currently has an exhibition of his works at the Butte College Gallery. Corbin will tell us about his new book, titled Kiss of the Art Gods, about his life and career as a contemporary sculptor of the human form. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Tonight, at Reading's Riverfront Playhouse, the romantic comedy Somewhere in Between. Showtimes, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. Also in Reading tonight, the Manhattan Short Film Festival comes to the Cascade Theater. See films from around the world and vote on your favorite. This cinema cavalcade begins at 7:30 tonight. At the Cascade Theater tomorrow, legendary folk icons, the Kingston Trio. Hear many of the trio's best-loved songs beginning at 7:30. Then Sunday at the Cascade, the North State Symphony presents its concert, Masterworks 1, American Made, celebrating two giants of American music, Bernstein and Copland. The concert begins at 2 o'clock. There'll be a pre-concert talk at the Cascade from 1 to 1:30. And Wednesday at the Cascade, an intimate evening of songs and stories with Graham Nash. See this Grammy-winning, two-time Rock and Roll Hall of Famer starting at 7:30. In Red Bluff tomorrow, at the State Theater for the Arts, the group Pablo Cruz entertains the North Valley with the band's hits from the 70s and 80s. The Cruisin' starts at 7:30. Saturday evening, enjoy the North State Symphony's Bernstein-Copland concert at Laxon Auditorium on the CSU Chico campus, beginning at 7:30. The pre-concert talk begins at 6:30. On the visual art scene in Chico, MONCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, hosts the photography exhibit Black and White in Black and White, Images of Dignity, Hope, and Diversity in America, and its companion exhibit, Silence Out Loud. MONCA's hours, 11 to 5, Thursday through Sunday. In the Humanities Building at Chico State, the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery has Dog Days, works by Vietnamese-American artist Trong Nha Nguyen. His whimsically odd and oddly political objects can be seen Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4. Tomorrow, at Norton Buffalo Hall in Paradise, Hannah Jane Kyle, singer, multi-instrumentalist, and songwriter. This rising talent is a favorite of the North State, and her concert starts at 7 o'clock. on Tuesday at the Paradise Performing Arts Center, The Simon and Garfunkel Story, a multimedia presentation telling the story of this famous duo featuring a full live band. Hear such classic songs as Mrs. Robinson, Cecilia, and Bridge Over Troubled Water. One performance only, Tuesday at 7:30. At the Acting Company in Yuba City, a production of the classic American musical Gypsy, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30, with a Sunday matinee at 2. Tonight in Grass Valley, at the Foothill Events Center, the final round of the 43rd Annual San Francisco Comedy Competition. 5 contestants offer up their best sets, and the winners will be announced at the end of the evening. The competition begins at 8 o'clock. On Tuesday in Grass Valley, the Chinese Warriors of Peking will amaze you with their martial arts and breathtaking acrobatics. 2 shows, both on Tuesday, 11 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. That's the calendar for this week. Celebrating a birthday today, French sex symbol Brigitte Bardot. What could be more beautiful, said Bardot, than a dear old lady growing wise with age? Every age can be enchanting, provided you live within it.
The play A Doll's House, Part 2, was on Broadway last year, where it was nominated for Best New Play at the Tony Awards, and was nominated for 7 other Tonys. It's a sequel to the famous play by Henrik Ibsen from 1879, A Doll's House. This new play is by Lucas Nath, and now it's on stage at Old City Hall in Reading, produced by Axiom Repertory Theatre. Our Reading correspondent, Kelly Frost, is at Old City Hall to talk with the cast and with the director, John Truitt. Truitt explains to Kelly what this play is all about.
Axiom Productions, A Doll's House Part 2, picks up 15 years after A Doll's House. And anybody who's read or seen A Doll's House thinks, oh, you know, that was part of my college or high school curriculum. Everybody's familiar with that play. It's 120 years old. Everybody's very familiar with it. And you think you know what to expect, but this sequel has an awful lot of surprises.
So it sounds like maybe it's not so well known, the second play.
Second play might not be well known. You know, it's a new play. It opened up on Broadway in 2017. It won a few Tonys. It's a great script. Folks at Axiom read it and said, this is definitely a new show we want to do. And from what I understand, a lot of professional companies all over the country are doing it this season. So we're right up there with them.
And it's a comedy.
It's funny. I don't know if I'd call it a comedy. I'd call it a new postmodern play that's very funny.
It sounds like it deals with a very serious subject. This could be a scandalous thing going on here.
It deals with a lot of serious subjects, subjects that were important to people in the 1880s and 90s and are still very important and still very relevant now. It's about, you know, what makes a relationship and how should people treat each other.
Maybe these people don't treat each other the way they should.
Well, you got to come see the show.
Yeah. All right. Tell me about some of the other shows you've directed. I know you've done some of the things before.
Last show I directed here was 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. That was a riot. That was a musical. This show is a straight play that's funny. I really like doing shows with Axiom Repertory Theater. It's a great company to be associated with.
And it's a very small cast.
It's only 4 people.
Does that make it easier for you?
The number of people that's in a show doesn't make it any easier or any more difficult. Basically, with any show, you still got, you know, somewhere between 90 and 100 minutes to fill. And if you have less people, it just means that it's more time required with each individual. So it's better in a lot of ways to have a small cast.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be fun. Thanks for talking to me.
Hey, thanks, Kelly. Come out and see the show.
Tell me your name and then tell me your character's name that you play.
My name is Pamela Carney. I play Nora Helmer. My character is a very strong, independent woman that has come back to the house she left 15 years ago, and she's there for a purpose. When you come see the show, you find out what that purpose is.
Oh, you don't want to give anything away.
Oh, revolutionary.
Maybe a little hint?
When she left Torvald, they had an agreement that they would get divorced, and that would be that. And then 15 years passes.
And where has she been all this time?
Well, she went and lived up north and started a life of her own. She became a very popular writer that made a lot of money on her own, starting from scratch.
Tell me a little bit about the play itself.
I don't want to give too much away, but some people may be familiar with A Doll's House by Ibsen. This is a brand new play by Lucas Neff. It is basically what happened when Nora left at the end of A Doll's House, and then 15 years later. And so Ibsen wrote it in, 1879, and it was the revolutionary play, and it's right for that era because it was unheard of for a woman to leave a marriage and her children. So
I could see in 1879, yes, that would be probably scandalous,
yes.
But does the play have something to say to people today?
Well, sure, absolutely, because some things haven't changed yet. Some things have only changed a little for the better, but I think Nora is right in one of her lines about women being freer, but I don't want to give too much away.
Right. Have you done other plays with Axiom before?
This is the first full-length play that I've done with Axiom. I've done several plays with Riverfront Playhouse, and I've done a little bit of TV work. I had a little part in a music video with Merle Haggard many, many, many years ago. But live theater is my favorite place to be. It's my true passion.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So tell me your name, and then your character's name.
I'm Lauren Stanfield. I'm playing Emmy in Doll's House Part 2. Emmy is a 17-year-old girl. She's engaged to be married, and she's a little bit pissed that her mom came back because it's like she came back after leaving her when she was like 3, and she doesn't even remember her at all, so it's really strange to be meeting your mom for the first time.
She's had no relationship at all with her?
No, her mom gives a whole speech about how she doesn't want to interfere with lives that she's not a part of. It's like, this is your mom and you love her, but you're also a little bit like hurt that they left you and you feel kind of abandoned.
Tell me a little bit about the interaction then between your character and her mother.
It's like real awkward. So like you walk in and like I could tell that the crowd's just going to be like silent, like what's happening? Because she doesn't really have a whole lot to say to start with. And then she kind of just starts being a little bit bitter and making fun of her mom.
What's her relationship like with her father?
She has a really good relationship with her father. She's like a daddy's girl. She talks about her dad all the time and how great he is.
Okay, and if I can ask you, how old are you?
Oh, I'm 19.
Is this your first Axiom show?
It is, actually. It's really exciting. I just love everyone who works in this company, and they're like so sweet, and they care so much about learning and like the experience of theater instead of trying to make it like, oh, we have to make money on this show.
So you're enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. It's my favorite show I've been in so far.
Good. Thank you for talking to me. Your name, please, and then your character's name.
I'm Lisa Collins, and I play Anne Marie. Anne Marie is the nanny. The other three people are actually related. It's the father, Torvald, and his sort of ex-wife, Nora, and their daughter, Emmy. And I'm the nanny. I actually raised Nora when she was a child, and then when she left 15 years ago, I raised the children, and I'm still here. Her children are grown now, but I'm still in the house.
Very interesting story. Tell me about her interaction with the wife when she comes back.
Yeah, she's really a funny character. She got a letter. There's one line that lets the audience know that Anne Marie knew Nora was coming back, but she doesn't know why. So the whole first part is her trying to figure out why Nora's back. it's not a warm, fuzzy reunion for them because she's up to something, she wants something, and we're trying to figure it out, but through the facade of being polite to each other.
So is she the only one that did know ahead of time? Because it sounds like the father and the daughter were totally surprised by this ex-wife or wife showing up after 15 years.
Well, that's a good question. I'll let the audience decide. There are a couple of parts in the play that would suggest maybe Anne-Marie shared that information with one or two other people, but nothing is conclusive, so it's kind of open to interpretation.
I mean, you're playing the character. Do you think she did share it?
I've gone back and forth about if she shared it with Torvald. And I don't think she did, but I do think she told Emmy, because I think they had a plan sort of all cooked up, depending on what Nora was after.
Okay, sounds like a great show. I've seen you in other shows before. Tell me a little bit about some of the other things that you've done.
Most recently, I was Vivian Baring in Wit. You can see my hair's growing back. I was so happy they're not making me wear a wig. I just have my nice short gray hair now. Just love being on stage.
What is it like here with just such a small cast?
It's very intimate. You really become a team and you support each other. It's been a real challenge. This is a comedy. I hope everybody's been making it clear it's a comedy, because A Doll's House, the original, wasn't necessarily a comedy. This can be deceiving. You know, you see pictures of us and we're in our period clothing, but we've worked really hard to make just go plumb all the funny lines in this, and there are quite a few surprisingly hysterical moments.
But it sounds like it's still a serious subject.
I know. This is our struggle. It is a serious subject matter, and she's trying to be the one that opens the door, literally, for women to have more equal rights. And yet, it's a comedy. It's really challenging. We're having a blast. We can't wait for audiences to come see it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kelly.
A Doll's House Part 2 opens the season for Axiom Repertory Theater. It's at Old City Hall in Reading, and it only has 3 more performances, tonight at 7:30, tomorrow night at 7:30, and the final performance Sunday at 2.
Dolores Mitchell. Today I'm speaking with sculptor Dan Corbin. Born on a ranch in Yuba City, traveled throughout Europe, through Australia, studied at Berkeley, and now is back in Chico having an exhibition at Butte College. Tell us about the exhibition and your book signing, Dan.
It's going to be at the Butte College Gallery on the 18th of October from 4:30 to 6:30. I'm going to be there. I'm going to have 23 works of art. I'm going to have my book to be sold and signed. I'm excited about my book, and I'm excited about being at Butte College for the simple reason I want to get my book in the hands of college students or people who are interested in art. The name of the book is Kiss of the Art Gods. It's a multi-generational book. It's about me growing up here in the Valley. I actually was born in Yuba City on a ranch, and that's where I began learning about art. It resulted in some of the sculptures I make in that I use a lot of texture and I embed things such as rocks and bottles and these little time capsules in there. That's part of my technique and my style. Is that a result of studying the Aboriginal conceptualists in Australia? I think so, because I spent 3 months over there. The first year I made some money, I said, I'm going to travel.
Dan, I have to back up a bit because some people would like to see your art prior to the reception. In fact, it's there at Butte College for the entire month of October. You're just having the reception mid-month on the 18th. What kind of work will you have in the gallery?
I'm going to have 9 life-size figurative sculptures made of bauxite, some torsos, some made of bronze. I have a large female torso that is cast in carbon steel, and I have others that are cast in different types of bronzes. Most people, if they know my work, they know my sculptures, but they're not aware that I've painted for all these years as well. Most of this work is from my studio and from my private collection. Because I'm having this book signing and the art opening, I wanted to bring out some of the work I've never shown that's kind of out of my private collection. There's going to be a number of paintings there. People really don't know my paintings, but I have one now at the Triton Museum in Santa Clara that's on display. It's one of my mixed media and caustic figurative paintings. I've gained some ground with my paintings, but I'm really known for a sculptor.
You're doing some very innovative things, combining that feeling of the classical figure with mannequins of the 20th century.
My whole thing is convergence of the old and the new. And what I've taken are classical canons of making sculpture. In other words, my sculptures are all in proportion. They look like people, but I also add a conceptual part to the work. And that's because I studied at the University of California at Santa Barbara for a number of years. It's not something that I enjoyed at the beginning, but as you get older, you know, you learn more about artwork. And the whole thing to do with being a sculptor, and if you're going to be a professional, is that you have to innovate and have something new. Most of it happened here in Chico, my second coming as an artist, when I went back to graduate school at Chico State.
You were saying that at the age of, was it 8 or 9, you almost knew you were going to be an artist.
My theory is that some people are born to be artists. The name of my book is Kiss of the Art Gods, and I really like the idea that art is important to us, and that's one of the reasons I've written the book. I think that art is the epoxy that holds civilizations together. These days, we're having a problem with cultural divides, racial divides, all these different divides, and I think that art is the one thing that can bridge all of those and bring us together peacefully. That's one of the reasons I've written the book, is because I want to get that idea out.
That idea that art is so crucial to civilization, that must be a motivation for you to reach out to students. You were saying how important it was for you to have this Butte College show because you wanted to introduce your own life and your own struggles to students.
I know where they're at because I came out of the Army and I went on the GI Bill to a junior college. If they want to be professional artists, which is really a hard road to go, I really talk about that in my book. And my book is more of a mental plan of where you have to be in order to be an artist, such as how you deal with rejection, how you get a gallery, how you do all of these things that you have to do as a professional.
How do you deal with rejection?
If you take a look at me right now, it looks like I have normal skin, but my skin is actually as thick as an alligator's by now. Rejection doesn't bother me because at an early age when I was growing up, we went through the 55 flood and I've become resilient because of that. We went from having a lot of stuff to having nothing when we were wiped out as ranchers. I've had poverty in my life and I've lived in a lot of different unusual circumstances. A lot of artists get rejected one time, they walk away from it. It doesn't bother me. It bothers me that day, but the next day I'm up and at it again because you have to really believe in yourself if it's going to happen.
There was a turning point in your life. I think it was at the age of 40 when you came to Chico and David Best, a visiting artist, changed your life.
David Best was a guest professor from San Francisco and he was teaching a symposium for graduate students. He just told me the material that I was working with was the wrong material. I just love clay. I'd been working with it for 20 years. I was really good at it, and I just had a hard time changing to another material, but he was right. With his suggestion and with my experimentation, I was able to build a life-size figurative sculpture, which has been my goal. I've only had a few goals in my life. One is to support myself as an artist. Another one is to make artwork that I like. And another one is to make a freestanding figurative sculpture. The material that I use is called bauxite, which is aluminum ore. It's an old art medium that was used in Europe for the longest time. It's similar to cement, but it's a far superior material. It's a beautiful color. It's strong. It's really hard, and it allowed me to build a sculpture that has an armature through it, and inside I have lightweight strength material to bond it all together.
Having achieved that goal of a full-scale freestanding sculpture, you also have been doing fragments.
Most of the figures I do are freestanding female figures, and they don't have arms or they don't have heads. And the reason for that is I'm not really talking about the personality of the person. I need something that's more sensual and has all of those personal feelings with it, but also it allows me to do what I really do best, and that is to make the sculptures out of different materials. My whole thing is I make them out of wood. Sometimes I embed wood into the bauxite. Sometimes I have rocks. I have plastic toys in there that are embedded in resin. I have perfume bottles, different things that are all built to the surface. It's a surface that is highly energized. So when you take a look at it, there's things in there to see. And, you know, everybody can interpret it the way they want to.
Do you find that there's much difference when you're dealing with a male or a female form?
You know, most people are not going to believe this, but the female form is not a problem. Actually, women are the ones that have made my careers. That was the most insightful thing for me, is I didn't think that they would back me as much as they have. The female figure is not a problem if you put it in public, and some of my work does go in the public arena. The male figure, however, is a big, big problem because people in this culture are not used to looking at male figures. I sculpt them realistically, so you can imagine they have all their parts and everything. At the show, I am going to have a male figure. It's a really nice one. It's the first time it's been shown. One of the reasons I make figurative sculptures are because it's a vehicle to express subtly my views on the environment and industrialization. I've been an environmentalist since I was in college in the 60s and the 70s. That was our big fight back then. We didn't win it. We lost it. But I'm still trying to do my part.
Well, Dan, once more, tell us about the reception, the hours, and what you'll be doing there.
It's going to be on the 18th of October at the Butte College Gallery. I'm going to be there to publicly sign my book, 4:30 to 6:30, Thursday.
I'm going to tell everyone they can go earlier and take a look because it's going to be there for the entire month of October. Well, thank you very much, Dan.
That's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.